God is so good. I love the Spirit in this place. Praise the Lord. Let's just pray for that God anoints this message this morning. Lord Jesus, I ask you, Lord, to come down. Lord, I know your word is anointed already. Now I'm asking you to anoint these lips of clay. Lord, let me speak your words and your words only, Lord Jesus. I'm only a man, and you're God of all creation, and these are your people, and they've come here this morning to hear your word, Lord Jesus. We ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Matthew, the 5th chapter, I'm going to read just a short verse. Just one verse, Matthew 5, verse 6. Should be a very familiar verse of Scripture to you. Matthew 5, 6. Jesus is speaking to the crowds and he says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Praise the Lord. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Let read it with me one more time. Just read it with me. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Praise the Lord. We've been working in Fiji for a little while, and we've seen what Jesus is speaking here of a hunger and a thirst after righteousness. Now, I had a message all ready to go, and things kind of got changed up. I decided to go with a different message, and then while I was sitting up here on the platform, God started rearranging my notes for me. And so I said, "Lord, we're singing." I said, "Well, I ain't got a whole lot of time left. You need to get this put together in my mind before I get up there." But God always does a good job of putting His word together in the preacher's mind. And so I could have come up here and delivered a nice put-together sermon, but how many here would rather hear the anointed preaching of the Word? Amen. Well, I come up here with this verse of Scripture, and then God brought it to my attention about the Samaritan woman at the well. And if you want to turn in your Bibles with me to John, the 4th chapter, we're going to read about a woman who was thirsty. Amen. A woman who was thirsty. Let's see. Let's pick up the story. Jesus is in Samaria. He's at Jacob's well. We'll start with verse 6. It says, "Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, he sat thus on the well, and it was about the 6th hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, 'Give me to drink.' For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, 'How is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, which is my woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans.'" Basically, she was giving him an attitude. She was just smarting off to him. "You know, don't bother me. Why are you even talking? I thought you Jews thought you were better than us Samaritans. Why are you talking to me?" So Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith unto thee, 'Give me to drink,' thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." The woman said unto him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman saith unto him, "Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." And while I'm speaking the word of God, I want this little phrase right here to sink in and to be working on the inside the whole time I'm up here. And that's this: "Sir, give me this water. Sir, give me this water." The The pastor we were met in the office before service, and he was telling me how the Holy Ghost was moving in this place. And there's people continually getting the Holy Ghost. That's exciting. That's exciting. And I don't want to see anything less this Sunday. I want to see somebody come forward and receive this living water. Praise the Lord. Now, I grew up just a country boy in Missouri, and we would go down south into the Ozarks, and we would go to the rivers that are spring fed. The rivers would be 15 foot deep, and you could see the bottom of them. Just all spring fed, cold water, very clean. And so Missouri is the home of the most caves and springs, I believe, in the world. And so you could just be walking along through the forest, and there's a water coming up out of the ground. Well, the way that works is that there's underground rivers, and there's pressure on those rivers. And anytime there's a crack in the ground, that pressure sends that water up, and it surfaces. So I've been around this. I know a little bit about this. And it seems to me that Jesus here in this scripture is explaining the Holy Ghost to her as a well of living water springing up within you that's going to satisfy that thirst. That's going to satisfy that thirst if we're hungering and thirsting after God's righteousness. Praise the Lord. We were in Fiji. We hadn't been there too long. We had bought a little car. We were going to keep it for a few months while we were there and then sell it when we left. Wasn't a whole lot to it, very small. But we went to the superintendent. We said, Brother Nandavo, we want to go over to the next island and we want to go over there and minister. And he said, Oh, Brother Fox, he said, the roads over there are bumpy. Well, being a country boy from Missouri, I thought, well, I can handle bumps in the road. You know, I grew up on a driveway that was a mile long, and a lot of times in the winter it was mud. I said to myself, I can handle this. So we put our little car on the ferry and we went over to the other island and we got off and we got to going down the road, and oh my goodness, he did not explain them roads to me well enough. It was more than bumpy. It was like driving down the railroad tracks the whole time. There was no avoiding. And so it shook and rattled our little car, and we lost a ground wire to our electric fan motors that cooled the engine. And so where the engine started getting hot, and I couldn't drive fast enough for the wind to cool it off, and so our engine started overheating, and we got to the first church, and I pulled over, and there's steam coming out of the hood, and the pastor come out to greet us, and I said, you wouldn't happen to have a mechanic in your church, would you? And he just smiled real big. He said, come on in, Brother Fox. Let's get something to eat. We'll worry about that later. He was a mechanic. God knows how to get you from point A to point B. If he's got a destination for you, he can get you there. So we went in, got something to eat. He came back out. We couldn't find that little ground wire, so we just wired the battery direct to the fans, which worked. It cooled the engine off. The only problem with this is that it ran the battery down. So the car started dying. So I'd have to get out and unhook the fans to charge the battery up. Well, while I'm doing that, the car is overheating. So I stumbled along like this, going down that bumpy road like a washboard. And we were really hoping to get to the hotel. It was just that one church and then the hotel on the other side of the island. Well, we was really hoping to get to the hotel before dark. We were going to be going through a small city, and we didn't make it. It was so dark, in fact, that we were holding the flashlight out the car to shine our way, and we were driving. We started to enter the city, and it was so dark that I missed the first set of police officers that was trying to pull me over. They were on foot trying to wave me down. Well, I didn't see them. But they radioed ahead, and the second set of police officers, they caught up with us. They got me pulled over. And a very aggravated police officer came up to the window and said, What are you doing driving in our city with a flashlight? And so I explained to him what had happened, who I was, and where I was trying to get to. Long story short, we arrived at the hotel with police escort. And didn't get a ticket. Because God can get you there. If he's got a destination, he can make it happen. We just got to step out in faith and just keep going when things get tough. Well, we were there at the hotel the next morning. I was a little rattled from my travel experience, and my car was just completely kaput by the time we got there. And so I was a little rattled about that. And the boys were late coming to breakfast. And so I sent my daughter, go get the boys and bring them back. Well, she went and got the boys up, and she was running on her way back and tripped and fell and broke her collarbone. And so we quickly found out that Fiji's a third world country when we went to the hospitals, and they didn't know what to do for a broken collarbone. Her bone was actually all the way broke. It was passing each other, and her shoulder should have been pulled back. Well, when they bandaged her up, they pulled her shoulder forward, and her hand started going numb, started having complications. They gave her the wrong kind of medication, gave her too much. She started to go into shock. And within 2 hours, my wife had tickets back to the U.S., and they were on a plane, just her and my wife heading back to the U.S. And here I am. My daughter's broke. My car is broke. All of the churches are coming together because I'm only going to be on this island for a short time. All the churches are coming together to the larger church to hear the missionary, and I've got to preach to them the next day. Well, I'd felt like I'd been kicked in the stomach. There was no preach left in this preacher. I was feeling pretty low. And so, minister come to pick me up. He saw how rattled I was. And I'll never forget this. He said, "Brother Fox, I believe that you are right in the middle of the will of God." When God's got great things in store, the devil's going to come against it. He's going to throw out all the stops. He's going to put out lots of pitfalls and roadblocks, and he's going to try and hold you back. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord's going to raise up a standard against it. Well, God had something great in store, and I went and that shook me, and I said, "You're right. This is the will of God." And so we went to the meeting the next day, and I preached just a simple message of salvation. I'm sorry for you theologians out there. It's not complicated. It's simple enough that anyone can understand it. And I preached just a simple message of salvation, and the people flooded to the altars, and they lost track of how many were filled with the Holy Ghost. Because there's a hunger. Because there was a thirst there. We've got to realize we've got a hunger and a thirst. We've got to realize that hunger and that thirst. If you don't realize your hunger and your thirst for Almighty God, and Jesus said, "You're blind and you're poor and you're naked. Without being clothed in his righteousness, you're exposed. Your sin is exposed, your shame, your guilt. You're guilty before God, and all that's exposed. And you don't realize you're starving." Job said, "I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Not snacks, not sweets. He said, "More than my necessary food." The words of God were more important to Job than the food that would keep him alive. Job recognized his hunger and his thirst. Praise the Lord. Well, we have a hungry and a thirsty people in the islands of Fiji. And it's not just among the churches. We after our car had started giving us trouble, we traveled by taxi. We had to go downtown one evening to get something for my daughter, and We had got a taxi and we were on our way downtown. And we hadn't been in Fiji very long. We didn't realize how early all the shops closed up. So here we are. We got a 5-minute drive downtown. And we got down there. All the shops were closed up. So I told the taxi driver, I said, well, I guess just take us back to the Bible school. All the shops are closed up. So I don't know why he didn't just tell me that when I said, you know, we're going down to the shops. I guess he had to make some money too, though. So he went ahead and took us down there. But on the way back, I seen an opportunity to witness to this man. And I began to tell him about the goodness of Jesus. You know, that's the most effective thing that you can do, is tell people how good Jesus has been to you. You may have all kinds of great programs going on. There ain't nothing wrong with that. But if you're spending all your time trying to convince people to come to church to get involved in your programs, that's not it. They can go anywhere and get programs. We need to be telling people how good Jesus is. Amen. So I started telling him how good Jesus is. And I started telling him how he could repent of his sins, how he could be baptized in Jesus' name and get the Holy Ghost. And that's about all the more time I had with him. And we were back at the Bible school, and we pulled up, and I said, we have a baptismal tank right outside here. I said, would you like to be baptized in Jesus' name? And he said, if it's got to do with Jesus, I want it. And we got out of the car. I got him a change of clothes. I didn't want to see him soaking wet in his cab all night long. So I got him a change of clothes. We went down into the baptismal tank, and I baptized him in Jesus' name. I only spent 5 minutes telling him about how good Jesus was, and that was enough. You know, if you have someone who's hungry, physically hungry, and you offer them a hot plate of food, it don't take a whole lot of convincing to get them to eat. This man was hungry, and the Holy Ghost kind of tapped into that. And so baptized him in Jesus' name. He come up out of the water praising and worshiping God. He just had all those sins washed away. Had all that, a lifetime of guilt and shame washed away. And gee, there's an awfully good, clean feeling coming up out of that water when you go down in Jesus' name. You bury that old man and you come up a new creature. Is there anybody here that needs baptism? I imagine that the church can make it happen. If you're lacking that. Don't leave here without being baptized in Jesus' name. If you haven't been baptized in Jesus' name, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. Well, he got his dry clothes back on, but he didn't want to go back to driving that cab. He wanted to sit with me and hear more about this Jesus. And so we got to talk into the night. Church, I'm talking about a hunger. I'm talking about a thirst this morning. Only Jesus can quench that. I said, only Jesus can quench that. You're not going to find nothing in this world that's going to meet that need, that's going to make you feel fulfilled. Why do the movie stars, why do the rock stars, why are they committing suicide? They have their fame, they have their fortune, they have all these things, and it doesn't satisfy. And I think that once they get to the top and once they have everything, they realize, I've been chasing a dead end. I guess if you're not at the top, you can always think, well, it's just beyond. It's just over the next hill. I'll find it. But see, they're on the top and there's nothing there. Only Jesus can satisfy. He told that woman, and you'll never thirst. He will continually be within you a well of living water, bringing everlasting life. Hallelujah. We've got lots of miracles going on in Fiji, but what I'm most excited about is the people getting filled with the Holy Ghost. In 2011, we baptized over 500 people. And again, in 2012, we baptized over another 500 people. God is filling the Fijians because they've recognized their hunger and their thirst. Praise the Lord. I just wonder if there's anyone here this morning. Maybe this is short, I don't know, but I'm just going to wind this thing down. And I want to leave enough time for us to come to the altar and seek after this living water. She said, "Sir, give me this water." I just wonder if there's anyone here that would come forward and just say, "Sir, give me this water. Give me this water." Let's all just stand and let's begin to create an atmosphere that the Holy Ghost can work in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. "Sir, give me this water." That needs to be the question in our minds. That needs to be the question on our lips, or the request rather. "Sir, give me this water." She recognized her need. She recognized her need. She pushed against him for a little bit. She tried to challenge his authority. You Jews say that in Jerusalem you're supposed to worship, but us Samaritans, we worship over here in this mountain. She tried to push against him a little bit, but that spirit finally broke her down. Finally made her aware that she was in need. She was thirsty. And this man had what she wanted. He still got it today. He'll still meet your need today. Let's just come forward and let's begin to seek after him. If you haven't received the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, the Spirit of God is here and he is well able to give you that living water.